and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
I recently spoke about Mystery Babylon the Great and how that one day during the first half of the tribulation period that there will be something called Mystery Babylon the Great. Well, there was a real Babylon, and I discussed this as well when we studied Mystery Babylon the Great. There was a place called Babylon, and in Isaiah chapter 13, verses 19 through 22, we read of a prophecy of something that was going to take place in the place called Babylon. Isaiah 13, 19 through 22 says, "And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall be there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged." Well, some teach that Babylon, the place called Babylon, will be restored during the tribulation period. I do not believe that. I believe the Bible is clear and plain in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 20. We've read that. It said it shall never be inhabited. Nothing is going to be there. The only thing that is there now are ruins. And the archaeologists go there and they look for evidences or whatever they're looking for. But that city will never be restored. That city was an ungodly place. And we know by studying the Word of God that Nimrod was the founder of Babel. Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 through 10 says, "And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calne, in the land of Shinar." Now Cush, the father of Nimrod, was the oldest son of Ham and a grandson of Noah. And when we look at it like this, we understand that Nimrod, that would make Nimrod the great-grandson of Noah. Nimrod was an ungodly person. You remember the account of how Babel, the people tried to build a tower that reached into heaven, the Bible says. I believe it might have been something the astrologers might have used. Or maybe in their minds, they thought maybe they could actually get to heaven by building this great great tower that reached into the heavens. They thought it was going to get to heaven, I believe. I don't know what they thought, but I believe that it was man-made religion. Man will never get to heaven on his own. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. "Believe on the Lord, and thou shalt be saved," the Bible teaches us. Well, even back in the Old Testament, we read how that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. We must believe God in order to go to heaven. And we look in the New Testament and we see how that Jesus Christ came into the world, the only begotten Son of God. He laid down his life, shed his blood for each person in this world. All the person has to do is accept the free gift of God. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So we see that Babylon, was an ungodly place led by an ungodly person by the name of Nimrod. And once again, that place will never be restored. And the Bible there that we've just read in Isaiah compares it to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I believe that our country is becoming more and more like Sodom and Gomorrah every day. And unless something is done, unless people come to their senses and start worshiping the true God, unless this country turns to God, then I believe it will end up as Sodom and Gomorrah and as Babylon, ruins. And of course, we read how Babylon would never be inhabited again. It would be destroyed. That was prophecy in Isaiah chapter 13. And it came to pass that no one will ever live in Babylon again because of ungodliness. Well, we looked at Mystery Babylon the Great, and we discovered that it was ecclesiastical Babylon. It was the religious Babylon. It was something that people were worshiping during the first half of the tribulation period. And I made mention also how that there are shades of Mystery Babylon the Great even today in false worship that goes on in so-called churches of God today. Well, right now I'd like for us to look at another Babylon. That's Babylon the Great. Now the names are familiar, and the names are, they are in likeness, but there's a great difference. Mystery Babylon the Great was ecclesiastical Babylon. Religious Babylon will be religious Babylon. And Babylon the Great will be the commercial, political, and religious. It'll all be combined in the last half of the tribulation period. Well, Mystery Babylon the Great, of course, was destroyed. Well, it will be destroyed at the middle of the tribulation period. And about that, at that time, notice in Revelation 17 and verse 1. Now, once again, Mystery Babylon the Great is found in Revelation chapter 17. And we read there in verse 1, it says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." And then in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 16, it says, "And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire." Well, when the ten horns destroy the false ecclesiastical system, once again, that's Mystery Babylon the Great. Once the ecclesiastical system is destroyed, these ten horns seek to restrain religious authority. And all leaders of Mystery Babylon will be destroyed, and all its wealth will be confiscated, and then Antichrist will establish himself as the religious and economic leader of the world. Well, what are the ten horns representative of? Now, we've studied this, and we looked at it in our last study about Mystery Babylon the Great, but let me once again tell you that we can't look too many times at what God has for us. We learn as we keep studying and reading the Word of God. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3 says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great dragon, a red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his heads." And then we look in Revelation 13 and verse 1. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." And then we go back to Revelation 17 and verse 3. Let me remind you that the book of Revelation is not written in chronological order. We must study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of God. And as we do that, we suddenly realize that, once again, Revelation is not in chronological order, but there's things written that do not follow each other. And this is the reason that we look in different sections to complete what God has given us, studying to show ourselves approved. Revelation 17 and verse 3 says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns." And then in Revelation 17, verse 7, "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carried her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. Well, we go ahead and we read in verse 12 and 13 of Revelation 17, it says, And the 10 horns, which thou sawest, are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind. In other words, they thought alike, or they will think alike, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Well, notice this, that when this takes place, when Mystery Babylon the Great is destroyed by these 10 kings, they will serve with the Antichrist for a short period of time. Notice the worship of the Antichrist. Revelation 13, verses 4 and 5, it says, And they worshiped the dragon. Now, of course, we know that's the devil. They worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. That's the Antichrist. And they worshiped the beast, the Antichrist, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is like, or who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. In other words, the last half of the tribulation period. He would take over. He would be completely in charge here. And notice the economic power of the Antichrist as we keep reading in Revelation 13. In verses 16 and 17, he says, And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And we'll look at about this, these marks and things a little bit later as we continue on in the study of the Babylon the Great. Well, once again, the founder of Babylon, the place called Babylon, was, of course, Nimrod, and I've mentioned that. And we keep reading, and we find out that, I remind you once again, that Nimrod was ungodly. He was someone that people followed, and he was someone that evidently people looked up to back during that time when Babylon was there. He was the founder of it, so no doubt people looked up to him as a great leader, but he was an ungodly leader. And that's the reason you and I, as children of God, we need to pray for godly leaders. Well, that person doesn't have to be a preacher, that person doesn't have to be a pastor of a church, but I believe that person needs to have a knowledge of God, and they need to be able to let God lead them and guide them, and at least have people around them that will help them to understand that God wants us to be a nation that serves Him, that serves the Lord, that does things according to the Word of God. Now, once again, the nation is to be led by people who are aware of God, the real God. This country is founded upon the Judeo-Christian ethic, and that ethic says there is God, there is a God, and He is the one who has created this world. He is the one who is in charge. Well, at least he's supposed to be in charge. Man will work with him. And man has a responsibility to God in certain areas of life. And we need to be serving God, especially as saved people today, letting other people know that Jesus saves. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they know unless someone tells them? And that's us. We need to tell people that Jesus Christ loves them and that He wants to save them if they will simply trust Him as Lord and Savior. It wasn't simple for the Lord. He came and gave His life for each one of us. If you've never trusted Him, why not trust Him right now? Ask Him to come into your heart right now.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.